Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Romeo Oscar Yankee, and this is the Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going on since 1982, and every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we try to do it again until we get it right. So please join me on this experiment of another technical net. As always, I'd like to remind people, if you cannot reach me by radio and you would like to reach me by email, either to ask a mailbag question or to suggest a topic for discussion or to offer me a physics or technology puzzle that we could use to learn other interesting facts, or if you'd like me to tap Paul, WS2N, on the shoulder and ask him to take a look at something that you saw on YouTube or some website, space and NASA related, and give his opinion. The email address to reach me is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag at, my call sign is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra .com. I also have a list of interesting links. The first two links are really not for business goals of the segment. Either they're kind of out of the subject matter a bit, or they're in full subject matter. But I thought it would be nice to offer you the link. Below that are a list of science talk topics. Every week I call a number of articles in the internet about science and discoveries and such, and if we have time, I'll talk about some of them later on, but if not, the links to the articles are available at my link site, which is roy.ac2gs.com. Again, roy.ac2gs.com. We have a chat room available for anyone and everyone. If you're so inclined, you can either go to Limark's own website and find the link there, or you can just type into your browser chat.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to our chat room. Again, that link would be chat.ac2gs.com. I also want to remind everyone that I stream the audio of Glen Oaks Repeater. Try and do it 24/7 as best I can, and I do it certainly for the technical net. So if you have problems hearing the technical net on the radio, you can type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you the audio stream. And I always want to remind people of Mike AC2NJI. He has a great archive of technical nets that go as far back as September.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Okay, I guess I was moving my mouth a little too much, and I timed out the repeater. Let me just quickly go through. Mike KC2NJI's amateurradio.tv is a great site for archives. And remember that the audio stream is at technet.ac2gs.com. Now let me drop once again, and I'll give you my plans for tonight. Okay, they're rather simple. We will ask for any questions of a technical nature. I will ask people to give me their first name and their call sign. I will then mark it down on a list, and we will approach it one by one by one. If we go through that, I'll open the discussion for general science and general medicine. You know, I don't want to have to try and diagnose anyone. We don't diagnose or treat over the radio, but if you have general questions about medicine, certainly if you have general questions about science, I'll try my best, and we have some very clever people participating who will help as well. Then around 10:15, I will call upon Paul, WS2N, to do the SpaceNet report. That should take us up to about 11 p.m. I'll come back, I'll tie a bow on it, wish you well, and we'll call it a week. So that's the plan, assuming that the repeater, my radio, and my amplifier all behave, which I hope they shall. So once again, as I've done numerous Sunday nights, I will call. If anyone has any questions of a technical nature, please give me your first name and your call sign.
NKD2, UDU, supporting the net.
This is Raymond at KD2VYY, and I have some content.
82NFJ, support the net.
This is KD2WIR, Frank. Frank, do you have a question or a topic tonight, or are you just supporting the net?
I do have a question. Like me to ask it now, or do you want me to wait?
No, you're in the number two slot. Raymond is up in front of you. I just wanted to get an idea if there were questions or just support. So, again, anyone else out there with any technical questions, please give me your first name and your call sign.
KC2DAW, Curtis, supporting the net.
Okay, we seem to have some interesting tropospheric ducting or something going on. I'm hearing Pennsylvania's repeaters as loudly as I'm hearing the Limark, so I'm sure that's going to confuse me a little bit. I'm sure other people who are farther into Long Island don't hear that, but I do. So let's start with the two people who checked in with questions, and hopefully later on there'll be more people with more questions. So up first is Frank, KD2BYY. What's your question for tonight, Frank?
Raymond, second.
Raymond, KD2BYY, what's your question for tonight?
All right, it's basically not a question tonight. It's basically to give you the results of the investigation I did on why my radio would not go past 70% power without shutting down. What we discovered was is that on the power supply, which is what you guys thought it was, but what was causing it was one of the screws in the case was just slightly long enough to actually touch the circuit card and cut into it. Once I backed out the screw, I was able to transmit properly. So what I did was basically grind the screw down to be shorter and put a piece of G10 board on top of the component that was being hit. And since then, I've been able to transmit at full power. Back to you.
Okay, very good. I'm glad that you fixed it. Yeah, that's an interesting variation on the power supply did it. It's almost reminiscent when I was a kid, many years ago, my sister, who had bought a new car, had gotten some kind of a used car radio with one of those, it had a tray that you could slide it in and it would power up the radio, and then you could pull it out and put it in the trunk so it didn't get stolen. And I put it in, and it seemed to work fine, except that when I inserted it into that slot, the power died. When I pulled it out and powered it separately, it worked fine. When I plugged it into the holder portion, it went dead. And finally, I figured out that the guy who had built the interface had not insulated it, and when you would slide it into the secondary interface, it would short out the power going to the radio. So it's kind of reminiscent of that. But I'm glad that you solved your problem there, and all's well that ends well.
Well, once again, I want to thank you all to providing the information. At least gave me a guideline to how to troubleshoot this. All right, back to the net.
Okay, very good, Raymond. Next on our list is Frank, KD2WIR. What's your question or topic for tonight, Frank?
Hey, my topic tonight is All-Star Nodes. Right now, I've got an HT in my hand. I happen to be hitting this heater, participating in this net. I think I understand EchoLink. I just recently got involved with that. And now I'd like to for All-Star Nodes. Now, I'm looking at turnkey solutions like Gary or ClearNode. I'm wondering if anybody has any experience with that and whether they can impart any editorial on that. I'm a relatively new ham, about 3 months, and I'm interested in getting involved with that.
Okay, very good, Frank. I don't have a lot of experience personally with All-Star. It's basically a voice over IP node, somewhat similar to the way that Echolink works and also similar to the way that IRLP works. There are slightly different philosophies involved. Echolink prefers primarily that users directly interface with repeaters using the internet, voice over internet protocol. They really get upset when people just use Echolink to listen in to transmissions from repeaters. They really like people to interact and transmit on those repeaters. IRLP is more of a repeater-to-repeater internet link. We have IRLP available to us. In the past, our team has cross-linked IRLPs with our different UHF and VHF repeaters. Around 15 minutes from now, a repeater in Ontario is going to link up to us. They like to listen to the 8:30 to 10:30 portion of the TechNet. All-Star is yet another one. It kind of is someplace in the middle. You can either access a repeater that's part of the node, or a lot of times they suggest people buy their own personal nodes and operate them personally and, I guess, share them with friends and such. So I know when I looked at it last time, they had options of different types of nodes. I didn't go into a great deal of detail, but if there's anyone out there who's an All-Star aficionado and would like to share his experiences, please hit that push-to-talk button.
Alpha Bravo 6, Mike Bravo.
Yes, Jeff. Jeff, AB6MD, is the host of the Papa Systems Antenna TechNet. It's on every Friday night at 10 p.m. local time, and there's a lot of different links, including Echolink, that you can listen to the West Coast Papa Network. So glad to have Jeff aboard. Jeff, you have experience with All-Star?
I sure do. It's my primary mode anymore with the Papa system, which is a system in Los Angeles that has 50-plus repeaters. It works very well. You have analog going into the All-Star device and then analog coming out. So it's almost pure analog. It's not a good analysis, but it just basically goes in analog and then goes through All-Star, converts into a digital stream, and then back into analog. So audio actually sounds pretty good. A lot of systems you can get into with All-Star that you cannot get into otherwise. That's another advantage of it. There's a clear node that is out there. It's a great way of getting started on All-Star. It has a phone app to control it. Really, really good support. Trying to think what else with it. It's just a great way to get started. If there's any questions, I'll stand by here. I think I just covered the really highlights of it. Back to you, AB6MD.
Thank you very much, Jeff. So, Frank, if you have any specific questions, we have Jeff, who's had a great deal of experience with technology. You could just ask him. You have to be a little bit slow with the push-to-talk because he's operating through Echolink, and that entails a couple of little limitations. If he steps on the push-to-talk, it locks it out for him. But if you have any questions, I'm sure Jeff would be more than happy to answer them.
Jeff, do you personally own a gear node, or do you have an All-Star node via another means? I see there's a lot of PI solutions where you're modifying an HDMI, or do you have some other turnkey solution? Thank you.
Okay, Frank, nice to meet you. I personally have the All-Star, I personally have the ClearNode All-Star device. Oh, there's a Sherry node that's out there, it's semi-kit-like. And there's other do-it-yourself. A friend of mine built it, his own with a cheap little HT and then a Pi Star and a couple other bits and pieces. That's the other way. What's really nice about the ClearNode is that he does it all for you. You give him your Wi-Fi, you give him the the other information that you need to get on All-Star, and he'll get you set up. You have to go get your own All-Star node number, which is really easy to do. You just go to this one All-Star site and get it. And after you get that, it's like I said, you can get in touch with the ClearNode place, and they will, put everything in for you. So basically, it's plug and play when you get it. Back to you, Frank, AB6MB.
Jeff, thank you very much. I think I might pursue that. I'm going to do a little bit more research, and I might pull the trigger soon. Thank you very much. This is Frank, KD2WIR.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank, and thank you very much, Jeff. Just out of my own curiosity, I do recall one point when I was looking things up, there were these flutes where it hooked up to a handy talkie. Is it theoretically possible to just go directly, say, from a computer's audio into the internet? Does it require a local RF interface in order to operate for some reason?
No, you can do a standalone without the radio. You know, the Kuzi one is where you get the radio and you put it in a case and you solder it up to the Raspberry Pi. And whereas the ClearNode, what they do, and a lot of some other ones do it also, there's an RF board that plugs right into the Raspberry Pi that has UHF or VHF. And so with a little antenna. One thing about that ClearNode though, and the other ones, they're kind of susceptible to getting buzzing on their signal. But there's a little tiny antenna that's plugged into them. And what you do is you take that off and just put a regular HT antenna on it. And that usually fixes it, because a little antenna is just not that great. Back to you, Roy, 86M.
Okay, very good. I'm just trying to figure it out, because the reason why there's the need to use a digital handy talkie or a digital radio on hotspot is that the method used to use the voice encoder decoder chip that's built into all digital radios. So that's why theoretically you could just directly input your audio stream through the internet. There's a nice little program called the BlueDV, which is a computer interface, but requires you to have a dongle that has its own little voice encoder, decoder chip that's plugged into the USB connector of the computer and supply it with that. I'm just trying to think is there any way to completely go around the RF need for All-Star, or is there some inherent technological aspect that requires at one point or another to go through RF and not to just go straight from audio into your computer into the internet?
KG2R1.
Go radioless on a Raspberry Pi and bypass that, because the only function the radio serves is to think have an FM signal that goes to the ClearNode or to the All-Star node, and from that they get there. Like you said, it handles all the audio. However, you can use a dongle, like a sound card dongle, and plug it into the Raspberry Pi and bypass all that. As long as you can get your voice converted to the All-Star digital, you can do that on the little Raspberry Pi. you're good to go. It doesn't care if it comes in via FM or doesn't care if it comes in via the sound card dongle. Now back to you, Roy, 86 Embassy.
Okay, very good. So I guess that that All-Star uses some digital compression algorithm. I guess I'll take a look, see if I can figure out if it's the same as D-Star and Fusion and DMR, which is the AMBI chips, or at least the code that's similar to AMBI chips. It has more to do, I guess, with philosophical. You need a node from the All-Star people. They build the node with an RF interface, so it's just easier to RF. So that's very interesting. I'll just have to look at more of it. I'm fascinated by all of these little bits and pieces of technology, how different people figure out how to solve similar problems. So I thank you a great deal, Jeff, for your expertise and for your participation in these technical nets. David, KG2RY, I heard you throw your call sign out. Do you have a comment to make?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Roy. Good evening, everybody. I was playing around with All-Star a while back. I had a Windows 7 computer. I was running Chrome, Internet Explorer with JavaScript, but a very old version of JavaScript. And I used a microphone that I plugged into the sound card in the computer, and I connected a speaker so I could receive. And I had very good success, you know, doing it that way. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. I've talked to a few people who got curious about it. You know, they'll land upon a repeater that has an All-Star link, or they'll go to a talk group that's also linked to All-Star repeaters, and look to find out more about it. Some people have found it a great additional tool to extend the number of people that they talk to. I think that this particular technology goes way back to something called Asterisk PBX, which I think started life as a software solution for telecom, setting up switchboards and such. So I think some smart guys took the Asterisk kernel and modified it for the use with All-Star. So it's all, you know, it's all great technology. That's what hams sort of do. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. They find something out there that's being used for one thing, and they repurpose it to use it for another thing.
AD6MB.
Yes, Jeff.
It is related to Asterisk, and you're right. As soon as you started talking about it, I was going to come make a comment about that. There's like different Asterisk apps you can download to your Android, or probably into Apple too, that can help you get into the All-Star nodes and that sort of thing. I'm not sure how exactly it works. I just started playing with it, and then I got sidetracked in something else. But it's Asterisk, easy to say, right? Has something to do with it, and that's the best I can say. I wish I had more information. Back to you, Roy, AB6M.
Okay, very good, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you can kind of track a lot of these things down to very similar. A lot of the new amateur radio technology is fundamentally more computer science than it is radio theory. The whole thing of software-defined radios and voice over internet protocols, they're much more in the digital domain, which I'm fine with. You know, as long as they work, I like legacy. I like state-of-the-art. I like leading edge. But yeah, that seems to be the original origin of the All-Star system. You know, things tend to be based on something that came before it. So, all fascinating, and definitely something that I'm going to read up about some more because it's been probably about 2-3 years since the last time I looked at it. And I'm sure things have changed since then. So I thank you once again, Jeff. David, I'm a little curious. You played around with All-Star. I assume that you're not playing around with All-Star lately that much. Is there anything that you found it wanting in that caused you to move on to other technologies, or just there's only so many hours in the day?
Well, the computer broke down, so I tossed it. You know, you have to have it set up just right. And I think you also have to, and if you end up by accident, very careful, you know. These Windows applications, many times they automatically update. Maybe I need to set it so it doesn't automatically update. And the other thing, I think Firefox also, using Firefox for the very old version of Firefox in JavaScript, and then, you know, now they have a new version of JavaScript, and if you download the old one, it automatically updates to the new one. So it's just become like a real major pain. Go ahead.
Well, yes, Windows is infamous for multiple updates that break all kinds of things. There was a time with my Plex radio that most times they had any major updates, it would totally decimate the virtual audio channels that were really important for the software to work. And you would have to delete it, and you would have to reinstall it, and you would have to hope for the best. It was a bit of a mess. So it's kind of a given, unfortunately, with Windows that their updating can cause more problems than it solves. But, you know, if you ever go back to All-Star, you might want to consider, instead of a Windows platform, something really small scale and relatively inexpensive, like a Raspberry Pi. There, you know, I have 2 Raspberry Pis recently. I bought 2 4 V's. They're loads of fun to play with. They're relatively inexpensive, and you can knock them around, and you're not going to get the same kind of updates from people like Microsoft.
QSL, QSL. Thank you, Roy. I'd be very happy to try it out. But right now I have a different small project that I'm doing, and I'll share it with you, you know, when it is the right time.
Okay, David, very well. I wish you luck in it. I thank everyone who's so far participated. And once again, this is AC2GS, and this is the Weimar Technical Net. And if anyone has any questions of a technical nature or topics they would like to discuss or hear discussed, then please give me your first name and your call sign.
KG2RY, I guess it's the right time.
Okay, David, I expected it to take a little bit longer than that, but fine. What's your comments or questions for tonight?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to do this inexpensively, trying to get the best quality audio to come out of a radio for listening, either amplitude modulation, short wave, medium wave, and or single sideband. And I'm trying different things, and I'm upgrading a radio that I have, and I'm sort of trying to configure them with different external speakers, or to see if any of them, you know, have a capability of a front-firing speaker, and listening and trying to figure it out. Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, that's an interesting thing. The complication that kind of makes it much more difficult is the pricing. You know, the old adage that if you throw enough money at things, eventually you'll get something. How much you're willing to spend on this is going to impact a great deal on what is your final method of choice? If money was no object, theoretically, probably the best approach is to take the line output of the of the radio before it's processed in any way, and take it to an external high quality linear audio amplifier and feed that into a well shielded, low distortion, acoustically balanced speaker system. But that's money is no object. Money is an object, makes it a lot more complex. Very often modern radios are not designed with a lot of empty space inside, so it's probably not a viable option to rearrange where the internal speaker is located. But you might have a radio that's amenable to it. I don't know. So probably still some external speaker system and or amplification system would probably be the most likely final answer to that question. Now, there are different ranges of prices. Proper shielding tends to add cost to the speaker enclosure. High fidelity tends to add the price of the audio amplification circuit. So you got to kind of find the sweet spot where the money isn't too high for the value. A lot of these things are diminishing returns. You know, the first dollar brings you a lot better results than, the hundredth dollar. But that's how I see it, at least. If there's anyone else out there who has any thoughts on the subject, please key up and share them.
You know, Roy, I tell you, my experience with amplified speakers is RFQ. I get noise coming out of the speaker, radio frequency interference. So I think better to get passive speakers for the most part.
Well, I mean, again, it depends upon the shielding. If you have proper shielding, what's going on is the power bleeding in the speakers is not going to be a problem because of the magnitude of the power is small. If it gets into the amplification chain of the audio amplifier, that's where you got problems. So whether you have a well-shielded audio amplifier in the radio chassis or separately, or built into the speaker enclosure. You need a well-shielded amplifier circuit so that the RF doesn't introduce a lot of noise. So theoretically, yes, if you have a reasonably powerful amplification circuit in your radio that's well-shielded, you can just run wire out to a passive speaker system. That will improve the sound as far as location and the acoustical quality of the speaker. But if one of the problems is the audio circuit is of limited quality, a lot of manufacturers buy lots of 10,000 of these chips, and they keep putting them in their radios for many, many years when there's better stuff out there, you might not get quite as much improvement. But that's certainly an option, but you need to have a radio that has enough oomph to power a slightly bigger speaker. If not, then it'll end up with the resistance of the line to the passive speaker will drop the voltage, and the power output will never be loud enough for you. So it sort of depends upon the engineering specifications of the radio's audio amplification circuit.
QSL. Let me tell you what I'm doing so far. I have a Cobra CB speaker, 4 1/4 inch speaker. It's pretty big. It's a lot bigger than the speaker inside the radio. It's tilted back and it's plugged into the audio out. So quality of audio has improved a lot on my UHF VHF radio, and the power of the amplification inside the radio is enough to power this passive speaker. Then on the HF radio, same thing. 4 1/4 inch CB speaker, tilted back, plugged into the output of the radio. It sounds pretty good, sounds pretty good. And then I have another radio that I shipped it into the shop. They're putting an IF single sideband filter, wide band, into it. They're going to install it. And the radio has a front-firing speaker. I don't know if I'm going to add an external speaker to that one. And that radio is mostly for listening, although it'll be connected through the antenna, but only operating on the resonant frequencies without a tuner. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. So you pretty much solved your problem, it sounds. You've been lucky in that the amplification circuit that was designed for the radio was amenable to a slightly larger speaker that you own that works well, that matches the impedance reasonably well, so that you're getting a good signal out of it. You know, there are some people out there, I think, who depend upon headphones for a lot of their listening, you know, rather than speakers. You know, there's a place for both things in a shack. So it sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Thanks, Roy. Just to tell you that these speakers are very inexpensive and you can get them on Amazon.com, you know. I think they sound better tilted back than if they're pointed directly at me. I don't know why that is so. Maybe, you know, because of the way the sound comes out of it. But, yeah, I think that's the solution to the problem. The only thing is, I don't know how the other radio is going to sound until I get it back with the upgrade in it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that is a variable. Again, you never know what's in the mind of the electrical engineers that designed a lot of our equipment. Every so often, there's a very nice piece of equipment that for all intents and purposes is worth every buck we paid for it. And then we find out that the thermal issues were never really well designed for, and it overheats itself or some other thing that you would think the electrical engineers wouldn't let pass. But you got to sort of depend upon them to have used a decent chipset for the audio amplifier. You know, they can go cheap or they can go expensive. ICOM, up until recently, seemed to be using the same types of microphone input chips for many, many, many years. They required people to either supply a electric microphone or some kind of secondary preamp to the microphone to get a decent output. So, you know, the brands are sort of known to be a little weird in bits and pieces. So I wish you good luck with this third radio, that when you get it back and you plug it in to the Cobra speakers that you found that you like, that it's enough sound quality for you.
W2BZ?
Yes, Rich.
If he could just go through a stereo receiver into his passive speakers.
Okay, I mean, unfortunately, that depends on whether his stereo system is RF shielded sufficiently not to pick up the RF signals when he's transmitting. But any opinions on that, David?
Well, thank you very much for your suggestion. I will say I've tried a whole bunch of different speakers. I tried small guitar amplifiers with amplification built in. I tried a electric guitar amplifier, Class A acoustic, so it's like totally clear and full range. You know, it sounded great, but you know, it didn't really have anything. I guess maybe the limitation is in the radio. So I think it would be better for me to stick with the gear that is designed for communications, because
The frequency response, what is it, like 300 to 3,000 cycles? So, you know, I guess it's really all it can do.
VDH with a comment. Yes, John. I had an experience a couple of years ago, my TR-751. I took the audio output and since my shack is located just below my dining room where my hi-fi stereo system is, I took the audio out and ran it through the stereo hi-fi amplifier, which was upstairs. I just wanted to listen, and lo and behold, I heard this strange hum that was on the signal, and because of the bandwidth of the high-fidelity audio amplifier, the inaudible continuous squelch tone suddenly became audible. So I don't think you want too much wide bandwidth on the audio output, especially if you're doing VHF receivers. But I started hearing all of the continuous tone squelch tones from all of the repeaters.
That's a good point, John. Let me just see if I have the repeater. Okay, very good. That's a good point, John. My Flex radio is kind of designed for repeater use as an afterthought. So other than tweaking equalizer of the received signal, it does not have a PL tone notch filter to notch out the repeaters like our repeater that generates a squelch tone. So when I record this repeater on my Flex, I have to then process it to manually remove the PL tone, 135.5, I think it is. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes too much of a good thing isn't a good thing. All things being equal, if you have a good general-purpose amplifier, it will hopefully have some kind of built-in equalization where you can kind of train it to just concentrate on the frequency range that you want to do. But that's a good point, John.
BZ?
Yes, Rich?
Isn't the squelch tone already removed by the time it gets to the auxiliary audio jack out?
Not in a software-defined radio if you haven't bothered to do that in the algorithm. You're thinking more of a legacy radio. Even a Balfong is going to limit you by the nature of its, probably by the nature of its audio amplifier. Its range of reproducing, 100 hertz is probably minuscule. But my Flex has no instructions to notch it out. There's no suppressors that are designed in algorithm form for it. So it just lets that beautiful 135.5 tone sing as loudly as it might sing.
I was thinking in terms of legacy type equipment.
Oh, comment.
Yes, John.
Yeah, even on my, I have a TR-751, a Kenwood, and apparently the audio output on the back, the auxiliary audio output on the back, doesn't notch out the tone. Tone must be notched out or filtered out in the only for the speaker audio amplifier built-in. They probably, I think the highest squelch tone is something like 200 and something hertz, so they probably cut off below 300. 300 to 3,000 gives you a good voice response. So they cut off, I guess, below 300 just to guarantee that none gets through. But it was coming through fine, loud and clear when I ran it through the hi-fi system.
Oh, well, you know, I guess they decided that they wanted full fidelity. So they used an output, a secondary output that didn't have any manipulation of the audio signal.
You know, I guess they didn't expect you to do what you did. Yeah, it's always been slightly annoying to me that a Baofeng is better able to deal with tone squelch than my lovely little software-defined Flex 6700. Once a year, I email them and say, pretty please, could you write it into the software? Because it would probably take about a day of software writing to just put in a notch filter. You know, notch filters are just software devices. So just to put it in and have it look at where the PL tone is set as an indicator of where to put the notch, or just to put a blind notch, as you mentioned, that's anything below 300 hertz. I played with the equalizer settings, but apparently the equalizer settings do not have the negative gain required to rid myself entirely of the PL tone. But, you know, life's little annoyances. I guess that's why I primarily use my ICOM 7100 for UHF and VHF. It blissfully notches out all the PL tones.
You know, I'm looking here on DX Engineering, Heil Sound PRAS-EQ, Power Metric Receive Audio System Equalizer, and a matching speaker that has an amplifier built in. I've only heard some stories about RF interference, but this is not an inexpensive device.
Yes, I agree, David. Equalizers are not particularly inexpensive, well shielded from RF equalizers more so, and the amateur radio market is a very, very narrow one, so you're not going to be able to make it up on quantity. There's another manufacturer, I'm not sure, I think his designation is W1YHY. He makes a lot of audio gear for amateur radio operators, and I'm sure one of them is some form of a graphic equalizer. Yeah, all these things are going to cost you money. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You could build your own, jury rig something, but it's not going to be that wonderfully shielded, and probably it's not going to be quite that aesthetically pleasing. But yeah, all these things cost money, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I connected a four level graphic equalizer used for guitar, so it has an extended range. So from 300 to 3,000 cycles would be covered, you know, by this device. I connected it to an amplifier, like a guitar amplifier, good quality sound. I tried a bunch of different speakers. And then, you know, with the RF problems and all that, connecting to AC and, you know, making all the cables somehow shielding the cables, you know, I tell you, it's much better just to plug in a passive 4.25-inch speaker right into the back of the radio. And, you know, it's quite adequate. But I want to see if the other radio has better capability for single sideband. Maybe also for AM, and from what I remember, it had more bass. I really wanted more bass in my sense.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the way to get more bass is to have a larger speaker. The larger the speaker, the more efficiently low frequencies will you know, get through from the signal to sound waves. That adds the cost, and also it puts more work from the audio amplifier, whereas your radio's audio amplifier might be able to manage, I think you mentioned, the 4-inch diameter speaker. If you used an 8 or a 10-inch, you probably would get more bass reproduction, but at the price of a voice coil that would require more power that your audio output circuits may be capable of giving you. So again, it's a matter of compromise between all the factors. There's only so much in size and efficiency of a passive speaker that you could get away with keeping audio amplification circuits that are built into the radio to be the, you know, the level that you're willing to go. So, you know,
Bigger usually is better for better sound reproduction, but it also hits you on the efficiency and the power requirement.
Well, Roy, I connected a 220 radio made in the Far East that sent it to me via USPS, gets here somehow from their country. And I set it up and it worked. And the quality of the audio was amazing. You know, this little, how to say, 220. And the quality of the receive audio was great. And it had a front-firing speaker. I didn't have to hook up any external speaker to it. It just had all the right things happening there. You know, so good quality audio equipment, new audio equipment. You know, maybe old audio equipment is better. And, you know, I'll have to find out anyway.
Yeah, by the way, AC2GS, certainly experiment, try out different things. I have found in the past that Near East products, especially Chinese products, are kind of hit or miss. There are some things out there that are marvels of engineering to me. I've mentioned them before. Inexpensive vector network analyzers, inexpensive spectrum analyzers. So some of these things are great, and they're practically giving it away. Baofengs have problems, but all things being equal, for $30, how could you go wrong without having an emergency Baofeng sitting around just in case? But I find their quality assurance to be somewhat problematic. You could get a great radio, and your friend could get a crappy radio, and they could be the same model from the same manufacturer. In fact, I've seen loads of YouTube where guys will buy batches of microphone elements from the same manufacturer and cull about half or two-thirds of them and be left with a much smaller number of microphone elements that have very nice specs and work beautifully. And even if you factor in the loss of the bad elements, still, it was a bargain. So, you know, if you're willing to take a chance, Chinese equipment can be amazing. It could also be maddening. It sort of depends on your luck.
Another topic, please.
Well, let me suggest to the people who would like another topic, please, to maybe introduce another topic, please, because this is basically driven by individuals who come and have questions or comments. So it's not like it helps much to say another topic, please, like you're hitting fast forward on a videotape. You gotta come to the mic and bring up a new topic. You know, what about that? Anyway, David, I wish you a great deal of luck on your experimentation, and I hope that when the radio comes back and you plug it into the new speaker, it gives you a good signal.
KG2RY. Roy, I just want to tell you that you sound great. You know, you sound much better than before, and I'm really glad that we're getting, you know, good audio coming from this repeater right now.
Okay, very good to hear that. Your signal is much, 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 much better than last week. It was about 80% noise, unfortunately, back then. It's a much better signal today. Did you do anything different, or is it just the magical propagation that afflicts all of us ham?
Let's just say it's ham radio magic.
Okay, we'll settle on that. Thank you so much, David, for participating. So once again, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. This is the Limar Technical Net. Especially for you guys out there who want a different subject, why don't you introduce a different subject? If anyone has any questions or comments or topics they would like to discuss, please hit that push-to-talk button. Give me your first name and your call sign.
KD2FYU, Roy, can I say something for a minute here to top off what you were just talking about for a couple of minutes, which leads into some of the manufacturers of equipment that we know and like to work with today?
Certainly, George, please.
Some 40 or 50 years ago, some of the best amplifiers were tube amplifiers for stereo equipment with about a 200 to 16,000 hertz audio response. And that was considered very good. Then there was a company in 1971 that came out with claiming 20 to 20,000 hertz audio response with their speakers. That company was Pioneer. Along with that, there was a company called Kenwood. Familiar. And right alongside of Kenwood was another company coming out from Japan called Marantz. Marantz with a very, very high quality turntables and eventually incredibly high response, audio response systems. Marantz was eventually Yaesu. And I just wanted to add that in as to say that these companies had their ear on things some 50 years ago. KD2FIU.
Okay, very good, George. I mean, you mentioned the companies that were the names in home audio, hi-fi quality audio for many, 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 many years before things got troublesome. You know, it's an interesting sound range. I wish guys would kind of get the, I'm sure there are free apps. The last time I checked, it was free. To test your high frequency audible range. And most of the guys listening to me tonight probably cannot hear much above, say, 10,000 hertz. When we were young and spry, the world was our oyster, we could hear much higher frequencies than we can now. So unfortunately, a lot of the audible spectrum in our hi-fi equipment is of dubious use for our ears. Some people will say that even though they can't hear those frequencies, they can hear the subtle heterodyning of those higher frequencies into the lower frequency range. I'm not quite sure whether that's real or imaginary, but yeah. So thank you for adding that, George.
Thank you, Roy, for bringing me in. KD2FIU clear. Thanks.
And thanks, Gene.
Yes, Wesley.
I was reading a couple of interesting articles, and the reason for that is that I was listening to propagation on HF bands from 1.8 to 28, and I see that it's not very much promising. And I have a topic that is interesting for me, I don't know if for the others, how actually the monitoring of ionospheric destructive events, or say sudden ionospheric disturbances, SID, is being done, and also amateurs are doing that, including amateurs that are in the science of space. Question for you. did you recently monitor what is the activity on HF bands, and can you say a few words about it?
Well, you know, I mean, I look upon the bands. I have my lovely little Flex 6700, and I open up to all the band adapters, and I look to see if things are busy or quiet. And there are the seasonal fluctuations. There are the day-by-day fluctuations. You know, at the middle of the night, 160 and 80 is as active as it's going to be. When dawn sets in, they kind of go to sleep, and
you get more activity on 20 meters and around 20 meters. As the day progresses, 40 wakes up and gets very, very busy. And then it repeats itself with 80 and 160. And unfortunately, 10 meters and 6 meters is theoretically is better in the daytime than at night, but still sunspots